Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We worship your holy name. We magnify your name. We believe in the promise that if you are lifted up from the earth, you will draw all men unto yourself. Today, we'll lift the name of the Lord higher above every other name. This morning, as I speak your word, let the word that will come out liberate your people. Let your word that will come up be the word of nourishment in the mighty name of Jesus. You feel as if something is stuck in your chest. Just put your hand on that, your chest. Let me quickly before I just go into the message. Just come here. Let me just come here. I want to just feel that something is stuck in your chest. Just come here. I want to lay my hands on you and I'll pray for you. Come here. Don't just put your hand on your chest. Come here and meet me here. As I was praying, the Lord, only one person God told me, I don't know. I only saw one person. But I'm praying for all of you. God, as I was praying, God just like something feel like somebody stuck in your chest. I don't know which of the four of you, but I pray grace of God will cover all of you. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that you will deliver her in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask, O Lord God, for healing and let everything that need perfume be found in this life in Jesus' name. Lord, I lay my hands upon this, your son. Let whatever is stuck in her come out in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the power of God fall upon him and deliver him in Jesus' name. I pray for this, your son. Lord, whatever is the pain in the chest, whatever that is stuck in his heart, Lord, let it come out right now. We see deliverance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Father, as we go into your word, let your heart have free access in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we are praying. Praise the Lord. Let's put our together for the Lord. This morning, I will continue in the series which I started last week. Can somebody tell me what are we on, title of the series? Traction of Success. Traction of Success. And we took our text from the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. Let's read it again. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their net and followed him. You will remember that I told you that the act of making it in life involves following. It involves mentorship. And if you have to make it, you have to watch the path that you follow and the person that you follow. And I said that what you make out of life determines the path that you follow or the person you are following. And that nobody can make it in life without being made. Peter and Andrew were making their effort to make it. But until somebody said, and I will make you, they wouldn't have made it on their own. And that nobody can actually make it on his own. I remember I said that if you are to make it in line with the principles of God, you have to be trained, you have to be tested, you have to be trusted. And I spent a lot of time last week talking about the essence of training in making it in life. And today, I want to go a step further. And I still want to warn young men again today that please, whatever God has purposed for your life, whatever you believe that the grace that God released onto your life, don't short circuit training. Don't run away from being tested. Ensure that you have the trust. Any attempt to run away from this cannot really work out well. Remember, I gave you the example of Paul, who said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, said that things that you are both receive and what? And learn. Receiving comes from God, learning comes from men and exposure. Don't go to manifest by what we don't receive without learning. As I want to go into the second part of the message this morning about testing, I want to share briefly with you 1 or 2 minutes a real life testimony or story. I won't call it a story, not a testimony. When I was in the secondary school, I had some friends who were Christians, born again. I was still a Muslim. And one particular man struck me. He was firebrand. I knew him as a Christian. But because I was a Muslim, we didn't have no clothes. Eventually, we finished secondary school. He got a job with his school start. I got admission to Ife, Unife then. As God will have by his mercy, I became born again. When I became born again, then we became close then, became closer. And I started encouraging him. And it was encouraging me in the Lord. I was encouraging him also to come up. And I used to, you know, admire the grace of God upon his life. And I said, okay, why don't you also try to go to school? Eventually, he got leave or absent from his place, so we pay so that he will go to university. He get admitted to university. We used to call him apostle. But later I came back to him and said, no. He said, look, Jesus will soon come. I don't have time to waste. I said, my friend, even Jesus will come tomorrow, let him meet you preparing for that manifestation. You need to, he said, no. It's because you didn't get born again on time. That's why you are talking like this. He left school, said, I want to go into the ministry. I'm an apostle. Yes, we saw the grace of God upon his life. So he resigned, he withdrew from university. Remember, he got leave of absence, we pay to go back and get a certificate so that they can. So we, the moment he resigned, so he withdrew from university office, not that he failed. That means he could not go back to that place or work again because there was no certificate to show. Because he believed he didn't need anything. Now God has called him. And later I said, what we said, we'll go to theology school. I just go for 1 or 2 years. He went to theology school. After about 3 months, he came back. He said, look, I'm not going to theology school. He said, the anointing upon my head is bigger than the anointing those who are teaching me. See, I've attended classes. I said, look, the grace I carry could not be contained in that seminary. So he left job, he left university, he left the earlier college, and he said, he was an apostle. And he started moving around. Nobody gave him any opportunity. The last time I checked, he has become a prayer consultant. He's still an apostle without a ministry, without a congregation. But he's battling to survive. And because of that, he became a prayer consultant out of desperation. He had the grace. He had the anointing. I could testify to it that really the hand of God was upon his life. But then he didn't allow training. He didn't allow to be tested. He didn't allow to be proven. He just wanted to manifest. So this morning, I'm going to talk about testing. After you are trained, you need to be tested. You know what? Any enduring, for every enduring,
promotion. You have to be proven and you have to be tested. No promotion that Sendoni can come your way if you are not first proven and you are not tested. Let me ask you a question. Why do footballers go for trials? Except they pick you up at maybe Olympics or World Cup. You know, there are scouts who go to World Cup. Am I right? Looking for talent. What are they doing? They are seeing that by the World Cup exposure or continental tournament, they see that you are being tested. Am I right? But if you are just being recruited by a scout, what will you go for? You go for trials. True of us. True of us. You have to be tried. And let me give you another example. You can use physical things to understand spiritual things. Any job vacancy you see today, three things are important. For you to be hired, they will put qualifications. Am I right? What is qualification talking about? Well, they want to know the kind of training you have received. That's the essence of qualification. Do you agree with me? Secondly, they will talk about cognate experience. When they are asking about cognate experience, what are they saying? Want to know, have you been tested? Where have you demonstrated your skill before? And thirdly, they will ask for referees, two of us. Now they want to say, who can put their integrity on the line? Say, look, I can vouch for him. Those who can spend their social capital on your behalf, that look, on my honor, this guy can be hired. Any big job that's advertised must contain those three things. They want to see your qualification, they want to know your cognitive experience, and they want to have referrals, referees. So these three things are important if you actually want to get traction on the path of success. So, what does that mean? If you are not tested, nobody can prove that you are actually competent. That you can actually... See, when you see a man who is trained, see, training can give skill, but training alone does not necessarily give mastery. Do you agree with me? Training, there's a difference between skill and mastery. Training can give you skill. Mastery comes to experience. And it's in the field of experience that you are tested. There is this adage that will say, I don't know how many people actually understand Yoruba very well now, because nowadays, Yoruba proverbs, people understand. They will say, Majamasa, Lama, Akekanji Logun. When you are doing training to become part of the military, to be a soldier, they will tell you, oh, this is how to shoot. You can destabilize the enemy. They tell you all these things. If you just take theory in your head, you have not seen the real life, you know when to hide and when to actually come and be a brave man. There was a time recently, or not too long ago, Nigeria army and then the army from Niger. The commander in Niger was telling the Nigerian commander that Nigerian soldiers are cowards because they run away. And the Nigerian commander said, look, we are not running away. It's a tactical maneuvering. That we only maneuver to withdraw so that we can relaunch. But whether that is true or false, what I'm trying to say, that when you receive training, don't jump and say, I am okay. And now I can go ahead. Now I can be the boss of my home. Now I can also say that I've arrived. Wait until you are tested. Because training will only give you skill, it does not give you mastery. For you to be a master, and really had the mastery of whatever vocation, profession, or the calling. You have to go through training, which is also through training, and after that, through testing, which is another level entirely. That's still another Yoruba stage. I don't know whether many people can understand this. It says that, and it's about to bati lakaka, tota akara, koto begba ere, kusi unta fe firulo junna rubo kengbe. Did you hear me? Any to bati lakaka, tota akara, koto begba ere, kusi unta fe firulo junna arubo kengbe. Tola kaka, who try? And I want to translate it. No. Wale, do you want to translate it? Dr. Miss Bele, want to translate? Yeah, come. Come and translate for them. 1 minute. You have to tell them what's akara, what is ere, what is kengbe, and then.
Praise the Lord. Akara, Ere, and Kengbe, they are from descendants of beans. Because it's you use beans to make akara. So the person that I've tried, that I've traded with akara, which is a product from beans, and has sold Ere. Ere is also beans. It's another name for beans in Yoruba. And then by the time you are going to Kengbe, Kengbe is another business. That is also from beans. That is no, you will know every in and out of it.
Let's clarify. Let me just now explain. Now, if you have tried, that's lakaka, to ta akara, to sell bean cake, and koto begbaere, and after selling bean, you have sold bean cake. Now you are now selling beans in Congo's. In bags, and somebody now coming to you that you see, Aruba Kengbe Moso. I'm also selling Kengbe. It's like it's enough. It's an akara that is fried, that is dried. Now, once you see, I only get two maybe 10 wraps from the. You say no, my friend, that's a lie. I've done this thing before. You can get 20. So nobody can then, he cannot come again and begin to, you know, to tell you lies because you already have mastery. So what I'm saying in essence is that after you are trained, wait to be tested. And I'll give you instances in the scripture. Elijah had somebody was trained who was Elisha. He called Elijah, Elisha. Elisha left everything, and Elisha went through everything I noted yesterday, last week, in my first part, about training. Is it submission? Is it obedience? Is it selflessness? Is it sacrifice? He gave everything. But then he finished training. If he had ended at the level of training, he would have missed it all. Then the time of testing came. And if he didn't pass that test, he will not be promoted. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 9, quickly. I want us to run because of my time, because we have to finish this. Let me say this is going to be a series in about 4 parts. So, and it came to pass when they were gone, I have to rush quickly, 1 to 9. When they are gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, and ask what I should do for you before I be taken away from thee. And he has said, I pray thee, from verse 1, please. I said from verse 1 to 9. You are going to the end point. See, you are jumping now. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Giga. Verse 2. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Verse 3, quickly. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel, listen, came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee here. So they came to Jericho. Now jump to verse 9 because of our time. Jump to verse 9. You know the story. Jump to verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Let me ask you a question. Did Elijah not know he was really going that day? He knew. He knew he was going that day. If he knew he was going that day, why didn't he just put his mantle? Just remove it. And say, look, this is my mantle. I throw it at you. Why? This guy has served him. This guy washed his feet. This guy ran errand for him. This guy believed him. This guy left his house, his family, left everything, every single thing. He left everything for Elijah. Some would have just thought Elijah should have just magnanimous and just remove the mantle and just throw it at him, that this is your reward. But no, that was training. He needed to be tested. That let me see if this guy we actually, because Elijah is a prophet. He knew that the spirit of Israel, that sons of prophets, they also, they are trained as prophets. He knew that Elisha knew he was going away. He wanted to see. Now that I'm going away, we say, this man is already going. Let him just find maybe all this wala, this no restriction, this sacrifice. Let me go back to my, maybe he didn't want to tell me out of respect. There are so many people who are staying in churches today because they don't want to leave. They want to leave, but out of respect, they don't want to talk. There are so many people who are following leaders today. They are not happy, but out of respect, they are looking for opportunity. He wanted to see whether Elisha was actually looking for escape route. And Elisha said no. But when he saw that this guy was ready. So other sons of prophet, they also knew. That was training will give you skill. Mastery will open doors of application. So by the time Elisha knew, sons of prophet also knew. They were well trained. But many people have training without skill, without application. Because they didn't allow themselves to be tested. Elisha, when he now found that Elisha was at past the test, he now asked the question, now tell me, what do you want me to do for you before I am taken away? That is when he passed the test. Let me tell you, you are serving under a leader. You are serving in a church. You are following a mentor. That person is not a leader. That church is not a church. That man is not a mentor. If he doesn't allow you to go through some tests. And when you are going through tests, it's not always easy. It is not as easy as drinking a bottle of Coke. Tests might bring some excruciating pains. Test might take you out of your zone of comfort. Test, we actually test for endurance, sometimes beyond limit. Are you going to cave in? Until you allow yourself to go through the test and you pass, that's when you can be promoted. Many people
they announce fast. They say, grace of God is upon your life. You are living for another, you are living for grace. Come for fasting and prayer. 3 days. That is too much. You say, God is going to use me mightily. Come for workers' prayer meeting. It's 7:30 every Sunday. Say, am I not going to sleep? I work from Monday to Friday. Saturday, Sunday is my day of rest. You walk my desk to church? Some people come to church service as if they are coming for second service when there's only one service. So you must ensure that you stay and be tested and pass the test. If you don't, you are not tested, you cannot be proven. David passed his own test when he was in the jungle. He was to be a champion. He was to kill the giants. But he was in the jungle when lion and bear came to deal with the... But he stuck out his neck. He put his life on the chopping board. He knew he had the grace. He knew he had the anointing. But he needed to... God already put him the grace and the anointing upon his life. But God wanted something to test that, whether that boldness will be there or not. It was when he now showed that boldness, because the grace is there, the anointing, the grace was there, the anointing was there, but it needed to be tested. So God created an avenue for him to be tested in the jungle. He passed the test in the secret where nobody was there. Then now, God, now I can now bring this man out to come and be a champion publicly. Some people, they don't want to go through the private and the fundamental test. They only want to come and manifest and be glorified. It doesn't go that way. That is not usually the pattern of God. If it happens at all, it's an exception rather than the rule of God. If you see one or two examples where it happens, that is not the rule. It's the exception. God will, anybody God will promote, anybody God will exalt, anybody God will celebrate, apart from ensuring that he's trained, he will ensure that he's tested. See, when somebody is trained and is not tested, there's tendency for him to overpromise and to underdeliver. And we end up as a disappointment. So that is why before God can put you in a position, before God can elevate you, he wants to ensure that not only are you trained, he wants to ensure that you are tested. Because of my time, I just want to rush quickly and say that what does testing do for you? Why do you have to be tested? And what does testing do for you? I want us to go to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 3, quickly. And I'll just see if it is, and after that we'll pray. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, let me say, before I go further on this, that the actual word actually is God did test, not tempt. Because God does not tempt anybody. But you know, in interpretation, one word might mean several things. And again, the way it's interpreted might be, you know, might connect something else. So it's not about, if you look at the original translation of this passage, the word there is not about temptation. It's about trial. It's about testing. Are you listening to me? So I need to say that because God does not tempt any man. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and said, behold, here I am. Verse 2. And he said, take now your son. Look at God. It's as if God wanted to look. God was trying to tell Abraham, know what I'm talking about, too. So that you understand, take your son, not just your son, your
only son, Isaac. Yes, Abraham had Ishmael, but Ishmael was not the son of promise. The son of covenant, the son of promise, the only son of covenant, of promise is what? Is Isaac. That was said, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Take your, God just didn't tell your son, God qualified your only son. He wanted him to know. So that you, and not only your, whom you love, and get thee out of the land of Moriah, into the land of Moriah, and offer him there. For what? A burnt offering. A bond, your only son, whom you love, not only kill him, for a father to bond the only son that he loved. Do you know what that means? But look at the beginning. God said, the Bible said, God tested Abraham. It's not that God wanted him to do that. But God wanted to see, because this that, now we are saying Abraham's blessings are mine. God wanted to put the blessing of the entire humanity to come to the age of Abraham. And before he can give that kind of promotion, he wanted to be sure that Abraham is actually what he believed he was. And offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Now verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood to burn the offering. Which offering now? For burnt offering. He took for the burnt offering. Which offering now? His only son, whom he loved. And rose up and went into a place of which God had told him. He didn't argue with God. He didn't give excuse. God is not a murderer. God is not wicked. God never wanted Abraham to kill Isaac. God does not give something with one hand and take with the second hand. It's only the devil that does that. But God only wanted to test him. And I was asking myself, assuming, let's play the devil's advocate for a moment. Assuming God didn't intervene, what would Abraham come back to tell Sarah? My sister says she will not come back home. Which own will he come back for? To? That would have been the end of that family. The end of that marriage. A lot was at stake. But Abraham did not prioritize anything above God. Every other thing came into insignificance. So, what does it mean? Number one, testing promotes you. It prepares you for promotion. If you are to be promoted, if you are to be elevated, if you are to be celebrated, God will allow you to be tested. So don't run away from it. Do not complain about it. Do not dodge it. I am not saying that it is easy. Yes, you can say, Pastor, it is easier said than done. I know. But that is the way to promotion. How can anybody give you a license as a pilot when they know that with one single flight, you can wreck up to 300 souls if you are not yet tested? That would be wrong. So you are to be tested. But my brother, it will only bring promotion. Second, I want to let you know that testing strengthens you. It makes you to develop stamina to face the reward. And that's why the Bible said in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, said that if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Apart from promoting and preparing you for promotion and elevation, testing also strengthens you, make to get enough stamina so that you can really live as a champion that God has proposed you to be. And number three, I want to say, testing humbles you. It makes you to be humble. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to 9, chapter 12, verse 12 to 9, maybe you can read that one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. Quickly. Unless I should be exalted through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Sorry. Through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of God, the messenger of God, an angel from God. What is messenger of Satan doing with an apostle? Is it that God has abandoned him? A messenger, the messenger of Satan, to do what? To buffet me. Why should God allow that? Paul, the great Paul, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. God, Paul said this is an aberration. This cannot happen. That the Lord, that it might depart from me. There was the answer, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Testing humbles you so that you won't think that you are holding all. When you go for a PhD defense, you think you have read a lot of things, but when you fail the panel examiner, you are reduced to nothing. The aim is to let you know that you still have a lot of things to know, so I won't go out of that saying, now I'm a PhD holder. Now I am this, I am an expert. They will let you know that young man or young woman, there's a long way to cover. Meanwhile, when you come out in the world as a PhD, people see you as an expert. If you wait, he give way. To the outside world, you are he give way. But to the panel, you are still a learner. Testing humbles you. If there's no process like that, and just award you PhD, vim, you'll be harassing the whole of the Ilefe community. But when you realize what you pass through, that you still have to do, you have to do this correction, you have to do something. You know that you are still a learner. That when they call you PhD, you knock your head like that of a guy, Malisa. But inside you know that, look, there's something I need to know. So it humbles you. When you see a man who is trained, has not tested their arrogance. They are pompous with their skill. They are arrogant with their knowledge. They walk as if they are the Lord. And then, most often than not, they are caught short early. Because the training, the skill they have, gives them swollen head. They have not gone through the rudiment of testing. Training gives you confidence. Sorry, testing gives you confidence. It also earns you credibility. How do people become consultants?
Dr. Ayola is not here. Is Dr. Mrs. Adia, is she here? She's in Chile Church. How do they become consultants? You follow consultant professors. You already trained as a doctor. Am I right? But you see, follow them around. Any opinion you have, the moment your consultant says this is not it, you drop it. True of us. But the moment you pass through that, and they say you are passed, you are a consultant. When people come to hospital, who do they want to see? If they say, here is a resident, here is a consultant, who do you go to see? You will have to go and see. Why? He has gone through a period of testing. The consultant puts him or her on job. Consultant will go and sleep in the night, say that when you have a problem, just call me. Say, okay, do it this way, I'll do it. Go back, he will go back to sleep. But after they are satisfied, I say, now this guy is a consultant, people will clean up. Say, we want to see him. We want to see her. Why? He has been tested. So, my dear young men and women, when you have, many people want to be trained, but they don't wait to be tested. As soon as they are trained, they want to go. They want to be on their own. They want to be called Lord. They want to be called Master. They want to be Savior. They want to be called Boss. They want accolades. They want people to be singing their praises. But remember, I told you last week, when people go through shortcuts to success, they are often cut short on the ladder of success. They may seem to be celebrated in the short run, but later on, they come crashing like a pack of cards. So don't run away from training and don't run away from testing. And to round off this message this morning, I want to finally to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't know if there's anybody here this morning who is going through a trial of faith. And you are getting tired. You are getting weary. I want to let you know that three things I prophesy your life will happen at the end of this feast. Praise, honor, and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. It does not matter what you have gone through. It does not matter what you are going through. My dear brother, my dear sister, stick with God. Stick with faith. Stick to the promise God has given you. Stick to the prophecies you have received. Stick to the confidence you receive from the scripture. At the end of the trial you are going through, you are hearing this morning, you are hearing me this morning, or you are watching this message online from any part of the world, I prophesy into all your life this morning. At the end of whatever trial you seem to be going through now, three things will follow. The first is praise in the mighty name of Jesus. There will be praise because it's going to end in testimony. And secondly,
Honor will be your portion. Because after you are tested, you are certified, then you are celebrated, honor comes. When you are tested, you are certified. When you are certified, you are celebrated. This morning, you are going to trial. The messengers, the devil seem to be perverting you. This morning, I prophesy that period of trial will come to an end and will give way to the face of honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And number three, glory. When a man is honored, glory is a corollary. Nobody can have the honor of God without the glory following it. They may be making jest at you now. They may be looking down at you now. They may really think you don't matter so much. You will not even feel it too good now. But I prophesy this morning, because you are chosen to stick by the Lord. I prophesy to you this morning, because you decide to stand by the Lord. You refuse to waver. You refuse to give up on God. That glory of God will come upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Stand on your feet. I know He loves me better whatsoever may be. I will follow him.
I know He loves me.
You are going through trials. I want to tell God this morning, just cry unto Him, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, let me transit from this phase to the phase of praise, to the phase of honor, to the phase of glory. I want to pray that prayer, and I'm going to pray for you. Just speak to God this morning. That God, yes, I'm passing through some difficult times. I'm passing through this dungeon of life. But Lord, I hold unto your promise. I'm holding unto your word. I know you will never fail me. Strengthen me. Help me. And now let me transit from this period, from this phase, to the phase of praise, of honor, and glory. Just pray that prayer. Just pray that prayer. Mansi kaula bababa, ra andu se popopo, ra andu kaska bababa, marinde kekekeke skebosh kandalaba, ra indo koskobosh kambalia, re ende koskobobo koskoboliga. Ra ando ske popo, ra inde ke skeba shandalia, marundo koko koko skumba laba, marunde ke skuba baba, ra anda kaska baba, re ende kuska ibaba shandalaba, ra anda kusko bobo sondoliga. In the mighty name of Jesus, stretch your hands unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, As your people strengthen your hands unto you, not unto me. Connect these hands with grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. As many as are going through a phase of trial, as many as are going through a phase of trauma, as many as are going through a phase of trouble or challenges, as this hand are stretched unto you, Lord, hold this hand and take them out of that phase of trauma, trial, and trouble, and bring them to the level of praise, honor, and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. If there's anyone want to short circuit the process of success, who does not want to be trained or does not want to be tested, Father, may you today, I pray that you accelerate the pace of your people on the ladder of success in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Let me say that next Sunday, I will continue this series, and our faith link will now come up on the last Sunday of the month. I don't want to break. It's going to be in four parts, at least, if not five parts. But I think it's going to be four parts. So I want to take part three next Sunday. Then we now do faith link on the last Sunday of the month. Please note that our faith link will not be next Sunday. It will be the last Sunday of the month. God bless you.